Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
I invite all who can stand to stand now for our opening hymn, knowing that if you cannot stand, the church stands with and for you.
Children that one day they will free, he will sing for generations yet to be, that they never have a reason to doubt that they are blessed. May they in your love. Minds be open, fling the church bells open wide, and there be room enough for everyone inside. For in God there is a welcome, in God we all belong, may the welcome be.
Welcome in God, we all belong. May the welcome.
And together we will experience God in word and in sacrament and in the presence of each other. For the experience of us all, if you have a cell phone, we do ask that it either be put on silence or turned off as we journey together in worship. And without any, I invite you now to again stand if you are able. And again, if you are not able, know that the church stands and with you as we prepare our hearts for this rite of reconciliation. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the wellspring of grace, our Easter and our joy.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and for whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. And by grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with the power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
Amen. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free till we be people of God. Power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and blessing and glory are his. This is a feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. Sing with all the people of God and join in the hymn of all creation, blessing and honor and glory and might be to God and the Lamb forever. This is the feast
a victory for our God, for the Lamb who was slain has begun his reign. Alleluia, alleluia.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord Christ, good shepherd of the sheep, you seek the lost and guide us into your fold.
Feed us and we shall be satisfied. Heal us and we shall be whole. Make us one with you.
This would be the point where we invite all of our children forward, but it looks like it's one of those Sundays where you will all become the children of the congregation today. So welcome, my children. I hope everyone's having a good day. Well, today is a special Sunday. It's not just any regular Sunday. Not if, like, there is any regular Sunday. They're all Easter Sundays. But today is also what we call Good Shepherd Sunday. And it occurs once a year on the fourth Sunday of Easter. And so, what's a shepherd? Anyone?
Someone who looks after sheep.
Yeah, there we go. So we got our sheep, and we have... and then we have the shepherd as a crook, right? Does anyone know what this is for? The different multiple uses of a crook? Yeah, you can, like, if they're stuck, you can, you know, lift them out. And we know, like, all sheep come with this, like, embodied, like. And so you can take this little knob here, and you can, you know, like, you can pick them up. Yeah. Yeah, and then what's the third use of it?
Fight off the wolves.
Yeah, yeah. No, not the wolves. I haven't got to the wolves yet, but that's close. When you're bored, this turns into a kid's place. And then when the wolf comes. So I guess that's the question then. So, but the question here is, this is not Shepherd Sunday. This is Good Shepherd Sunday. So what makes a shepherd good?
Stays alert.
Takes care of the flock. So the shepherd is there, right? The shepherd has kind of puts the metal to the road. So when it's cold and the sheep are outside, where's the shepherd? He's outside sleeping with the sheep. When the wolf comes, the shepherd doesn't run away, but he gets his little bat out, right? The shepherd is there to. The shepherd puts flesh in the deal. And that's what Christ does for us, right? God does in Christ. As God comes and puts flesh on the deal, so to speak. Stands in our place, takes our place, loves us, and cares for us. Because that's what God does in Christ Jesus. And so we can know that Jesus is not just a shepherd, but he's the good shepherd. So let us extend our hands, and on the count of three, we're going to bring our hands together in the form of prayer. One, two, three. Repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for being the good shepherd.
Thank you for being the good shepherd.
Amen.
Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Beside the still waters, he restores my soul. Even though I walk through the shadow of death, I fear no ill, for thou art with me. Thy rod and staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table for me, and anoints my head with oil. Surely God's goodness and mercy will follow me all of my life, and I'll live with God, and I'll live with God forever.
Reading is from Acts 4, verses 5 through 12. Hear now the word. The next day the rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. When they had made the prisoners stand in their midst, they inquired, "By what power, by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick, and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved." Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
We'll be singing the psalm this morning as found on page 5 of your bulletin. I'll begin with the light print. Please join in and respond by singing the dark print.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Guide me along right pathways for your name's sake. Table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup is running over.
Second reading this morning is from 1 John chapter 3 verses 16 through 24. Hear now the word. We know love by this, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth, and we will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks to God.
According to John, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because the hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You know, our Coast Guard has one of their many mottos, is so that others might live. And if you think about that, I mean, ask yourself where the emphasis is on that sentence. It's on others, so that others might live. And that implies that there is going to be a element of risk that those people take in order to go out into the deep to make a rescue. And you know, before it was the Coast Guard, it was the U.S. Life Saving Service, and they had an even more edgier model. Does anyone know what that model was? It was, you have to go out, but you don't have to come back. This was in the 1800s, before the advanced weather satellites and no buoys. You had no idea what the storm was like. And the ethos was, you have to go out because you have to know, you have to attempt the rescue before you can abandon it. You have to make sure that the task is impossible before you come back in the port. So you have to go out, but you don't have to come back. These mottos remind us something we call self-sacrificial love. And they're at the heart of what Jesus is saying today. And of course, self-sacrificial love doesn't require a reckless abandonment of your own safety. So let's get that clear right now. You cannot save someone who's drowning if you yourself are drowning. And so I think that's why when the Coast Guard consolidated, it was a less edgy kind of model. So others might live. You're going to take your necessary precautions to keep yourself safe, but there is a higher priority here, the safe and the love of others. And it reminds me, too, of an argument I had with a very high-ranking prison official when I was still just a lowly lieutenant up there, and he was impressing upon me how important staff safety was and that the highest goal of the day, the chief aim of mine, was to make sure every staff member left alive at the end of the day of prison. And while I agreed that that was indeed one of my top priorities, and because sometimes I can be sarcastic, so I can testify to that, I asked him if I could therefore just issue leave slips to everyone who came onto my ship. If that was my chief aim, if that was my ultimate goal, I was just going to give everyone the day off. Right. It didn't go over well, but I got my point across, right? We're serving a greater good, and the greater good was to protect and improve public safety. And that meant we were going to take all the precautions. We were going to be as safe as humanly possible, but our ultimate goal was something higher than just ourselves. The ultimate goal, the ultimate aim, was the public. And friends, it's not just Coast Guard people and people in uniform who have this ethos. We have this ultimate belief, an ultimate truth. I think it is, in a sense, the ultimate Christian truth. That the world is better because of self-sacrificial love. And there is no end to this. From the farmer who sacrifices in the field so others might eat, to the parent sacrificing for their child, to the lineman out in the stormy night sacrificing his or her own safety so that we can have power and heat. The world is better because we sacrifice for others. And I know this may not be a popular message in our culture now, but the Christian truth, I think, if we were to simplify it to its both simplest and its deepest meaning, would be just that. That self-sacrificial love saves. And if we wanted to flesh it out a little bit more with some Christian words, we would say the journey of self-sacrificial love of Jesus Christ unites heaven and earth. But it revolves around this one concept, that self-sacrificial love saves. And I think that is what Jesus is getting at in our passage today, on this heart of our Good Shepherd Sunday. We had the first part last year, and we'll get the next part, this last part, next year. And this year we're in this middle part. And Jesus is calling attention to this idea of sacrifice, that this is what the Good Shepherd is there to do. And a few things we need to point out, we might ask, how is it or why is it that the Good Shepherd is willing to lay down the life for his flock? And we're told straight out, that is because God knows the flock. And this shouldn't be such a mystery. All life flows from and in and returns to God. The divine soul, the divine life is in all of us. It shouldn't surprise us, therefore, that God intimately knows us. There's an intimate relationship. There is something driving the love of God to come and rescue the flock. And so Jesus makes it clear, there are other flocks out there too. Because the divine life is in all of us, all around us. And because of this love, this shepherd will come. And as I said, sacrificial love is not some reckless abandoning of care. Christ comes, God comes, because there is a must there. And the must is that God is here for life and love, and to guide us beyond death. And you cannot kill yourself out of death. You cannot hate yourself out of hate. The only way to destroy death is that a life is not to kill death, but to transform it. And so at the heart of our story, in the heart of this mystery, is God takes death into God's own self through love and sacrifice to transform death into life. And so the shepherd comes, the good shepherd lays down his life, and he has the authority and the power to take it up again. Which is why on Sunday we say every Sunday is an Easter, because death has been transformed. But friends, we are invited into this journey together. This truth that sacrificial love saves. This truth is apparent in all of reality. But the truth is now alive in us. If we just think of this little church and every little church, we only exist because the commitment of all of us to give of ourselves for the good of this church, for the good of each other. Be it time, talent, money, we're all giving so that others might live. And so our passage from 1 John invites us into this mystery. Children, as God has loved us and poured out God's life for us, we are invited now into this mystery of pouring out our life for each other and for the world. Through love, through life, through forgiveness. And together we do this all so that others might live. Amen.
Love is this, oh my soul. Why?
I'm free, I'll sing on. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing God's love for me and through eternity.
Rejoicing that Jesus has risen and love has triumphed over fear, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need of good news. Shepherding God, gather your church whenever we wander from you and one another. Empower our church and ministries around the world to worship and serve alongside global companions as equal partners and co-workers in the gospel. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Nurturing God, preserve the health of biomes and ecosystems. Inspire scientists, researchers, conservation organizations, and all people entrusted with the task of caring for creation, that we may be better stewards of the world around us. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, lead nations and communities to share resources, cooperate in solving conflicts, and listen to the wisdom of indigenous peoples. Help all those with power to share it and to such power for God, for good. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Loving God, protect the very young and the very old, those living without housing, victims of domestic abuse, and all who live with chronic illness or compromised immune systems. Guide communities to actively care for people who are vulnerable, especially Aaron, Madeline, Karen, Colin, Joe, Susan, David, Fran, Meredith, Helen, Daylight, Michael, Eric, Corey, Sylvia, Laura, Bonnie, Trudy, Kevin, Kathy, Carol, Misty, family of Perry Stockert, family of Susan Nelson, family of John Baker, victims of the war in Ukraine and Israel Hamas, earthquake victims in Morocco, recovery efforts in Maui. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Gracious God, help this and all communities of faith to listen for your voice. Call us away from things that distract us from following you. Invite us to more deeply love and see serve people who are lonely, isolated, and on the margins. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Living God, we give thanks for our ancestors in faith, including Anselm of Canterbury, and all who labored to help generations understand the good news of the gospel. Strengthen us to share the good news in our own day. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, most merciful God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your abiding love through Jesus Christ, our resurrected and living Lord.
Amen. Amen.
May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
I invite you now to share the peace of Christ with those around you. Thank you. invite us all now to stand as we sing our offering hymn. Do this for the remembrance of me. And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Remembering, therefore, his command, we give thanks to you, O Lord Almighty, not as we ought, but as we are able. We ask you to accept our praise and thanksgiving, and with your word and Holy Spirit to bless us, your servants, and these, your own gifts of bread and wine, so that we and all who share in the body and blood of Christ may be filled with heavenly blessing and grace, and may be formed to live as your holy people. To you, blessed Trinity, be all honor and glory in your holy church, now and forever.
Amen.
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 Gather together as one, let us pray as our Savior taught us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Your kingdom come,
your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial. Deliver us from evil. For the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours. Now and forever.
Amen. You may be seated. Friends, this is the table of God for all the people of God. And all are welcome at this table. This is for us all. In a moment, the usher will come and he will ask that you fill in the communion rails from right to left. And you may receive the sacrament in whichever way is meaningful to you. You may kneel, you may stand. If you wish to only receive a blessing and not receive the elements, come with your arms folded. If you come with your hand extended, you will get an element. You will get bread in your hand. And we have gluten-free options available on the request. And then the wine will be brought around, and we ask that you reach in and either take the red liquid, which is wine, or the clear liquid, which is grape juice. But no, this table feast of God is for us all, and we are all invited now to this table. Amen.
Without a plea, but
Savior, you have led me within your holiest place. And here yourself have fed me with treasures of your grace. For you have freely given what earth could never. Of endless joy. My Lord, I do not merit the favor you have shown, and all my soul and spirit bow down before your throne. Oh, grant me that if you believe in me.
Son of God, who has come into the world, and I'm raised to us.
Send us forth from this banquet to proclaim your goodness and share the abundant mercy of Jesus, our Redeemer and friend.
Amen.
And friends, we just take a brief moment for some announcements. We have the words of the week, and all of our announcements are in that, so please pay attention to everything upcoming. We'll just highlight that on Tuesday and Thursday of this week, we meet as a book club at 11 o'clock on Tuesday and 5 o'clock on Thursday and discuss a book. You are all invited and welcome to that discussion. We're reading The Hidden Meaning of Water. So if you read that and you want to be in the discussion, please come. If you just want to come be part of the discussion, come. And you're all invited. Also, next Sunday, we'll be hosting our last Youth Symphony Concert of the Year. So please, if you'd like to attend that, please come. And then a special announcement for all of our council members. We do have council after church at 12:30, so you are not free to go home church. And with that, let us prepare our hearts and minds. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
The God of resurrection power, the Christ of unending joy, and the Spirit of Easter hope, bless you now and always.
Amen.
Christ is alive, let Christians sing, the cross of empty to the sky, let streets and home with praises ring, love drowned in death shall alive, no longer bound to distant years in Palestine, but saving in air and now, and touching every place and time. In every Spirit, hear the call.
alive and come.